This is Carl, and you're listening to a very special feature now, broadcasting live across Self-Dev Radio and Writers FM. Now, we've never done this before, but we're doing it right now thanks to one very special guest. Now, he's been named as one of the top 5 marketing specialists in the world. He's written more books than the average Westerner has read, and he was recently featured in a movie called The Secret. We'll be chatting all about that very soon. They call him Mr. Fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking live with Dr. Joe Vitale. Welcome to the station, Joe.
Howdy. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you very much. And in fact, I should have said, welcome to the stations, because of course we're broadcasting across these two different stations, two different themes. And we're going to try to split the interview into two different parts. Firstly, chat about your writing and then on to the world of self-development. But before we do that, actually, I've got, before I start, something to chat to you about, Joe. Last night I was at your website, MrFire.com, and I...
Oh, you were the one there.
I was the one knocking up the hit counter. And right. I went browsing a few of the products. I didn't get to bed till 4 a.m.
Yeah, I warn people, when they go to MrFire.com, you need to pack a lunch and bring a thermos, because you're going to be there a while. There's dozens and dozens of articles. That website's been up for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
I've been sending out a newsletter for around 10 years, and all the back issues are there. There's columns there. There's sample sales letters there. My catalog is there. I mean, links to other websites of mine are there. So if you go to MrFire.com, you're going to be parked for quite a while.
Well, I was. And that was one of my problems. You know, till like 4 a.m. in the morning, I was there clicking away thinking, okay, let's make sure I got my research correct, you know.
Yeah, so I'm glad you were at the right website. It would have been interesting if you had been at somebody else's website and started asking me questions about them.
Yeah, MrsFire.com, a totally different website perhaps.
Right.
I've noticed all the different products you've got, Joe, obviously, all the joint venturing you do these days. And I was trying to find a good way to introduce you, but without wanting to sound too cliche with this opening question, how would you introduce yourself? What would you call yourself these days?
I am an author first, an internet marketer second, and a pretty well-known copywriter third. And I put author first because my passion, my love, the thing that I like to do the most is write books, promote books, read books, share books, and just get, I'm a booked addict, and I want to tell people about books that I write and books that I find that I really love. So first and foremost, I am an author. And I am an internet marketer because I've been doing that since the mid-1990s. I wrote one of the first books on internet marketing with a book that's now out of print called Cyber Writing. And I learned that I was able to extend my reach and tell more people about my books and me and my products and anything I endorse by doing it online. And so I really tasted blood back in the 1990s when I first went online and saw how powerful the internet could be. So I've been online for a long time, and I've been doing night and day email campaigns and major promotions. One of my promotions a year and a half ago made about $500,000, American dollars, in a couple days, all done online. I've made many of my books bestsellers all online. And then, of course, finally, I'm known as a copywriter. And I have to put that in there because I'm the guy who writes about hypnotic writing, and I have a software called Hypnotic Writing Wizard, and I've been doing copywriting, writing sales letters, way before the internet ever came along, probably 30 to 35 years ago. So I would say I'm an author, internet marketer, and copywriter.
I went searching on Amazon, Joe, and tapped in your name. That's another thing that takes quite a while. Joe, how many books have you written now?
I've lost track of how many books I've written.
Yeah.
I used to list the books that I've written on the back of my business card, and I ran out of space, so now I just put down author of way too many books to list here.
Yeah.
And let it be at that. It's probably, with e-books, published books, all the variety of books I have out there, it may be around 25 or 30. I have a couple more books coming out this year, a couple that I'm under contract to write for next year. I have a new book coming out in a couple weeks that I co-authored on, it's called Meet and Grow Rich. It's by Bill Hibbler and myself, and it's on how to create your own mastermind groups for wealth and health and happiness and fitness and any other goals you can think of. And my hypnotic writing book, which was my first e-book, will be coming out later in the year as a hardcover published book. And I'm working on a book right now called Buying Trances, which is a new psychology of sales and marketing. And I can just go on and on. I love what I do. I love my books. And so I'm pretty prolific at it because I'm so passionate about it. So anyway, to answer your question, I don't know how many I've written.
But a lot.
You do. You've looked at the list. I don't know.
One or two.
Yeah, I just write them. I don't count them.
Joe, I think that's a position that a lot of people listening to this, especially on the Writers FM side, would love to be in, kind of forgetting just how many books you've actually written. Joe, before we continue, we're going to chat more about your writing after the coming break, but I want to ask you one question first. In doing the research for this interview, I found out that you were an ordained minister. Now, that sounds like a story, Joe.
Well, you apparently did your research. Well, that's something I rarely ever talk about. I'm not even sure anybody's ever even asked me about it.
Yeah.
I have a couple PhDs. I have a couple doctorates, and one is in marketing, which you would expect since I'm known as a marketing guy. And the other one is in metaphysical science. And maybe you don't expect that, depending on how much anybody's done any research on me. But I have been a metaphysical guy for the last 50 years. I've been interested in it more than I've been interested in marketing, and I was interested in metaphysics and spirituality long before I ever got into marketing. And it wasn't until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago that I went public with those two interests with my book, The Attractor Factor. And my book, The Attractor Factor, has been a bestseller for a couple of years now. It's doing extremely well. I get calls, letters, everything all the time. But when I went to get my PhD in metaphysical science, I was able to use a lot of the research I was already doing and filled out some forms and so forth to allow myself to become an ordained metaphysical minister. And it was just something I was interested in. I didn't set it up as a goal. It's nothing that I advertise. I do have a friend that asked me to marry her and her fiance a couple years ago, which I didn't see that coming. I never thought that I'd be in the business of marrying people, but I've already had a couple different couples ask me to marry them. And on one level, it seemed very bizarre to me personally. On another level, I was as flattered as anybody could be. So anyway, being an ordained minister, getting a PhD in metaphysical science, and already having one in marketing, that's just something that comes from, again, my own passion, my own personal interest. And I admire that you did your research and asked me about it, because I don't get a chance to talk about it very much. Nobody ever digs that deep or goes in that direction. So I'm flattered. Thank you.
Well, I can imagine that not too many hot copywriters on the internet are ordained ministers. So
you're probably right about that. Come to think of it, they're more devilish. And I mean that in kind of a polite way. I don't mean that as an insult. They don't typically come from the spiritual approach. So that's another thing that I do a little differently, and I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Absolutely. Joe, we're going to take a brief break now. I know we've only just started, and we haven't gotten into any of the really juicy questions yet about your writing, about your self-development work, but that's all to come.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening live to an interview with Mr. Fire himself, best-selling author and self-development guru, Dr. Joe Vitale. We're broadcasting live across Self-Dev Radio and Writers FM for the first time ever. It's the first time we've done this. And after the break, we'll be chatting more about Joe's work as a writer, and he's going to share with us his secrets of turning your book into an Amazon bestseller. We'll see you in 3. We'll be right back. That was Steve Hansen there with Seaside. You're listening to Writers FM or Self-Dev Radio. We're doing a live multi-station broadcast right now because we've got a very special guest on the line. He's the copywriting king. He's written over 40 books on everything from marketing to spirituality, and he has a product available that promises to get your book onto the Amazon bestsellers list. He's known as Mr. Fire. He is on fire. He's Dr. Joe Vitale, and we're speaking with him now about his writing. Now, Joe, a couple of your books have hit the number one position at Amazon.
Yeah.
Top of the bestsellers list. You've got the Life's Missing Instruction Manual and The Attractor Factor. Now, obviously, they must be very good books.
Yeah.
But you've also written a guide called How Any Book Can Become an Amazon Bestseller. So there's always a little bit more to it than that. Tell me more.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because there is a formula to marketing just about anything online. And I've somewhat perfected it when it comes to the Amazon bestseller category. I have directly been involved with something like 17, 18, 19 books all becoming bestsellers on the Amazon, overall Amazon bestseller category, not just a bestseller in a particular niche, but the overall top 10 Amazon bestsellers. I've had numerous books there, some of my own. Like you mentioned, The Attractor Factor was actually number one twice. The early version of The Attractor Factor, which was called Spiritual Marketing, was also number one at Amazon overall twice. And Life's Missing Instruction Manual, which is one of my most recent books, was also a bestseller. I think that one was once, but it stayed up there for a long time. I've also helped numerous other authors make their books bestsellers, everybody from Kevin Hogan to Terry Levine, to Mark Joyner, to Mike Littman. There's a long list of them. I can't even remember all of their names. And so this formula works, and essentially it's the same kind of thing. I will kind of paint the rough outline, and then if you need to ask some questions, you can let me know how to clarify it. Well, first of all, of course, you need a book, and it needs to be a good book, because I have found that, you know, if it's a book nobody wants, you can't really bribe them into buying it. It still has to be something people want. So we really are back to the drawing board as authors, and we want to write something that people truly want to read. We don't want to be self-indulgent. We want to be thinking of our customers. What do they want to read? How can we write what we want to write so that they would be interested in buying it? That's just basic marketing. So we create a product they want. Needs to be on listed on Amazon, which is easy enough to do, whether you're self-published or your book is a print-on-demand book or you're published by a traditional publisher. I've been published in every way known to mankind. I've been self-published. I've been print-on-demand published or traditional published, the digital publishing, audio publishing, video, all of it. And you can make any of your those products an Amazon bestseller. To give you an example, I have a little book that I'm very proud of called The Greatest Money-Making Secret in History. The Greatest Money-Making Secret in History is a print-on-demand book. It is not in bookstores. If you go to Amazon to buy it, it is not in stock, but Amazon will say they can deliver it in like 24 hours or a couple days. Yeah. And it's all computerized. When you order it, a signal goes by computer to a printing company where the book's already loaded in the computer. They print out the book. It's printed on demand, and it's sent back to Amazon. Amazon puts it in a box, sends it to you, and as far as you know, it was published one among thousands with a big publisher. But that wasn't the case at all. It's a print-on-demand book. So you can take any book that's listed on Amazon and use this campaign. In short, the campaign is you pick a date that you want to do the campaign 3 to 6 weeks away from this moment, and it needs to be on a Tuesday, preferably. Friday can be okay, but Tuesday's legendary status for Tuesdays is that the selling online, anyway, is always better if you do the campaign on Tuesday. The results are higher. People seem to respond better. So Tuesdays, according to our research, shows that that's what works best. Then you need to start going to list owners, and these are people like me, maybe like you, people you know, people you don't know, but anybody who has a list, and a list can be 100 names or 1 million names, it doesn't matter, and you want to write to them saying, I am the author of such and such book. I am doing an Amazon campaign on such and such date. I was wondering if, this is the key point, if you can contribute a digital bonus that I can give to people when they buy my book on this particular day. Now, this is an essential key to success because these people will give you a digital bonus, because they know they are going to get free publicity off of your campaign. Anybody that buys your book on the day we select is going to get a bunch of bonuses, one of them being one that was contributed by a list owner.
Yeah.
This list owner is going to give it to you because they know they're getting a free ride on the promotion.
Yeah.
The second half of your request needs to be, I'm also asking that you promote this campaign to your list on this particular day.
Mm.
Now, if they like your book, if they see that you're going to do the promotion, and if they're nice people, and most of them are, they will surprise you and say, yes, I will offer such and such bonus, and yes, I will send out a solo email to my list on this day for you.
Mm.
That's the essence of it. And what you're doing is creating an ethical bribe for the customer so that you can tell the customer, I am the author of Life's Missing Instruction Manual. It is a great book. Here's why. Give a few testimonials. If you go buy it today, you will get $3,000 in digital bonuses, all contributed by these big list owners. Well, this makes it a no-brainer for the person receiving the email, because you've already told them the book is good and you've told them why, so there should be a latent interest to buy it. But the important thing to influence the Amazon sales tally that day is that they buy it on the day you want them to buy it. And that's why you need this collection of digital bonuses to say, buy my book today and you will get all of this package. Then they will go buy it. And that is the formula in a nutshell.
I'm guessing that one good example of that is the motherofallbribes.com website.
Yes.
Not brides, I made that mistake first of all, but the motherofallbribes.com. You can go to that website. There are a load of freebies that you get once you've purchased Life's Missing Instruction Manual.
Yes, that was a site we did for, wasn't it Mark Joyner's book that we put up, the Mother of All Bribes? Well, no, we put the Mother of All Bribes up initially for a Mark Joyner campaign. I think it was called The Irresistible Offer. His book is called The Irresistible Offer, and he wrote another one called The Great Formula.
Yeah.
But we also put up what was called The Mother of All Bribes 2, which was for my book, Life's Missing Instruction Manual. So, and in fact, there's one currently up that people can go look at right now, so this can be very clear to your listeners. Go to BarnumReturns.com, which is my website for a campaign for my book on P.T. Barnum, the famous circus promoter.
Mm.
My book is called There's a Customer Born Every Minute. I wrote the only business book on P.T. Barnum's Secrets to Success, and this was a guy who on his deathbed said, if you faithfully follow my methods, you will not fail. I mean, talk about a guarantee. He was dying and he said it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so if you go to www.barnumreturns.com, BarnumReturns.com, you will see an example of an Amazon campaign the way it looks. You'll see the whole sales copy. You'll see where it talks about the book. It'll talk about all the gifts you get if you get the book. You will see that when you click to buy the book, it takes you to the download page. There is the website to model, BarnumReturns.com.
So you ask them to paste in perhaps the Amazon receipt number, something like that. They
yes.
click a button, and then they get all the promotional gear.
And it's really as simple as that. Anybody who orders from Amazon or even Barnes & Noble online is going to get a receipt by email. And we ask them to take their receipt number, which is like a 17-digit number, and just copy it and paste it into the form at BarnumReturns.com. Once they've done that and they click OK, they're taken to the download page. So Amazon is going to send them the hard physical book, and then at the download page, while they're waiting for the hard physical book, they can be downloading all their gifts.
Wow.
So the customer wins, the list owner wins, and you as an author wins. This is the beauty of the strategy. It's a win-win-win all the way around.
Have you used that already for the book on P.T. Barnum?
Yes. I've used it. That's why Barnum Returns is up. I did the campaign a few weeks ago, but I've left the campaign site up just for those people who are wandering around or even for your listeners. You know, I've left it live.
Yeah.
I didn't take it down.
It sounds like a great process. So that's what you've done so far with the two big books you've written. You've promoted it to friends, promoted it to your own list, to your buds in the industry, and I'm guessing it kind of goes on from there.
Yeah, and I want to point out that a lot of newbies are doing this. A lot of first-time authors who don't have a list of their own will start writing people. They will write people like me. They'll write some other list owners, and they are able to pull this off. So I don't want any of your listeners to talk themselves out of this, saying, oh, I can't do it because I'm not Joe Vitale. Joe Vitale has a list. He's got a name. He's got contacts. Yeah, I do have all of those, but I didn't when I started. And that's what you have to keep in mind. You have to start someplace and don't give up. You have to be very persistent. I mean, persistence and passion are a couple of the keys to success in any area, but definitely in this area of writing and promoting your books.
Joe, I remember chatting with you a few years ago via email, and you were experimenting with self-publishing, and you just mentioned print-on-demand and so on.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that some of your latest books have gone through traditional publishing houses.
Yeah.
What's your experience been with those so far? Because I think this is of particular interest to our Writers FM listeners.
Well, that's a great question. Boy, I can talk about all elements of publishing for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So much of it.
Oh,
and there's
gee,
so many things
clunk.
To be Yeah, there's so many things to be aware of, so many things to know. I love self-publishing because I have total control. I can get things done much, much faster than traditional publishers. And the bottom line in either case is no matter how you get the book published, you still are left with marketing yet. You can't expect any traditional publisher to market your books because they've got so many things going on. They're on to the next book after they've printed yours. And traditional publishers know how to print books. They don't typically know how to market books. So I love self-publishing because you're in control. You can create the cover, the inside. You make your baby look however you want it to look. And you can get it done very, very fast. You can find a printer that can do it within days, if not actually within a few weeks. I, of course, like print-on-demand, too, because I don't have an inventory of anything. I just set it up with a print-on-demand publisher. I used, I guess they're called Author House now. They were called First Books for a while. My favorite these days is Morgan James Publishing, morganjamespublishing.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're also a print-on-demand. I have several books with them. But the thing I want everybody to realize is that the traditional publishers came to me after the success of my self-published works. I will never forget that it was around 3 years ago, I was packing for a trip to go to Italy the very next day. I was going to Rome, Italy. I was looking forward to it. I was the first in my family since my grandparents to get back to the old world. And so I was really focused on my trip overseas. I was learning conversational Italian. I was barely looking at my email, barely thinking about my everyday author life, and was just thinking about packing my bags when I got an email. I checked my email. I got an email from John Wiley, one of the major publishers up in New York. These people have been around since the 1800s. They published Herman Melville and Moby Dick back in the 1800s. They're very reputable, very prestigious. I got an email from their senior editor at Wiley saying, "Hi, I found your website. I see that you have numerous books that are doing very, very well. I'm interested in publishing something by you, virtually anything." Now, that's the kind of blank check that you hope to get from a publisher and you worked your entire life to hear.
True.
And there I am, you know, one day before leaving for Rome, getting this email. Well, I immediately wrote him back. Within an hour, we were on the phone talking. We had a wonderful conversation. I told him about my various products. And he said, "Well, which book would you like to publish with Wiley?" And he says, "I'm really open to any of them because they all seem great and they all seem to be going fantastically." And that's when I decided to give them the attractor factor and to see how it would go. I don't know how actually convinced they were of my book, The Attractor Factor. What they, as a traditional publisher, was looking for was an author who could market books. And that's why they came to me. They saw that I was doing my marketing. This goes back to when I said earlier that I'm an author and I'm an internet marketer. They wanted somebody who was an author and could market their books. Well, because of my work, because of my marketing, because of my Amazon campaign, I made The Attractor Factor a startling bestseller, so much that John Wiley called me up the day after my book, The Attractor Factor, became a number one bestseller, on that very day bumping the latest Harry Potter book out of the number one seat on the Amazon bestseller list. And the publisher said something I will never forget and will probably shock you and all their listeners and all your listeners. He said, "Can you stop your marketing?" And I said, "What?"
Yeah.
He said, "Can you turn your marketing off?" And I said, what in the world is going on? Why would you want me to turn my marketing off? It's working. We just unseated Harry Potter. The book is selling like crazy. Yeah. It's a bestseller. It's lighting the world on fire. And he said, well, I have good news and bad news. He said, the good news is you entirely sold out of the first edition of your book.
Okay,
the bad news is you entirely sold out of the first edition of your book. We don't have any books. And I said, go print more.
Yeah,
they're like the nacho commercials they have over here. You know, when you eat them up, let us make more.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, go print more. And he said, well, the printer we work with takes 8 weeks. And I said, look, you guys have been in corporate America too much. We entrepreneurs who live in the street can get a book printed overnight. I said, we can get this book printed. I'm not stopping my marketing.
Yeah.
And, of course, that forced them to find a quick turnaround printer that would turn around it within a week or so. And they went to their traditional printer to get more copies made in 8 weeks. Well, the book's gone through 4 or 5 printings. Now, the point with all of this whole story is that traditional publishers are very conservative. They're very slow. They do not know marketing. They certainly know publishing. They certainly know printing. And they certainly know books. But they don't know marketing. And so they want to work with an author who has a good book who knows how to market them. I am very happy with John Wiley. I have several books with them now. I came out with The E-Code, which was a book I put together with Johan Mott. I came out with Life's Missing Instruction Manual, which, of course, has been a bestseller. I have my book coming out shortly, Meet and Grow Rich, with Bill Hibbler. My P.T. Barnum book, which I'm absolutely in love with. I love my Barnum book. There's a customer born every minute, is with Wiley. I have signed contracts for 3 more books with Wiley. And in fact, they're taking one of my old self-published books from 10 years ago called The 7 Lost Secrets of Success. And I just signed a contract the other day to print that, reprint that, with Wiley. So I am happy with them, but you got to keep in mind that I'm an author who knows marketing, and that's what they're interested in. Mm.
It's an inspirational story, because I think a lot of people get started, they send off manuscripts all over the place, hoping to get that first, you know, snatch somewhere or another, but starting with the self-publishing route can actually work, and, you know, you obviously,
I can go one step before that, if we have another second here.
Yeah, sure.
And that is, I believe in doing e-books. I didn't think anybody would buy ebooks, you know, 10 years ago when I came out with my first one. And I owe Mark Joyner a great debt there, because he's the guy who talked me into it. But ebooks sell like crazy. You can put your book online as an ebook. And the beautiful thing about this is you have instantaneous gratification. The people who buy your book instantly get it as a download, and you instantly get their money.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful win-win. But the next part is you instantly get feedback from them. So if they don't like something, or they're confused by something, or the book needs to be written, it is so easy to rewrite an ebook as opposed to a printed book.
Yeah.
So once you've gone through this cycle a few times, selling your ebook, testing your ebook, getting feedback, rewriting your ebook, then you can go to the next level and put it into a print book. So you can see there's a whole evolutionary process to perfecting your book before you ever get to the stage where maybe a traditional publisher will say, hey, I like that, and they'll offer good money and put something behind it.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Have you found that self-publishing is more profitable, perhaps, over traditional publishing?
Well, there's pros and cons to both of that, because you've got to front the bill to print the book to begin with in self-publishing, and then you're going to be marketing it, so you're going to be paying out to send out copies or to send out news releases or to do whatever you're planning to do to market your book. With the traditional publishers, they typically give you an advance, and those advances are pretty low. They can be anywhere from nothing to the average I hear is around $5,000. After you've done a few books, you might be able to get $20,000, $50,000 as an advance. But then you still have to market the book, and again, the publisher isn't going to do it. So there's stories in both areas where people have made money from self-publishing, they've made money from traditional publishing. You've got to be a smart business person and a smart marketer to make all of this work. And I guess the really big thing to keep in mind is that the book isn't traditionally where people make money. The book is kind of like a business card or an elaborate brochure that you can use to get yourself speaking engagements or consultation gigs or to sell a high-end type product. The book often is what's called in business a loss leader. You don't make any money off the book, because whatever you make, you put back into the promotion of the book, but you use the book as leverage to get you something bigger.
Mm. That's interesting, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how I've done it. I've gone through traditional printing houses. I have a couple of books published through A-Press. I started online publishing articles, and then I was prompted to put it into a book format, so I did that, went to a traditional publishing house, got that done. Then I went into ebooks, and now I'm considering going into print on demand. So I'm doing the full circle here. I'm going perhaps a little backwards, but I'm really experimenting.
I think that's a very wise way of doing it, because I've done the same thing with articles. I love writing articles. My articles very often do lead into a book or get compiled into a book. Sometimes it's an ebook, sometimes it's a full-fledged printed book, sometimes a big publisher will pick it up. So I think that's a valid way to get things done. And writing articles and distributing them on the internet, as you no doubt know, is a great way to promote yourself. It's a great publicity vehicle. It becomes viral marketing. It's one of the reasons a lot of people know my name and they go to my Mr. Fire site, is I have so many articles that have been circulating on the internet ever since back with CompuServe and their open library back in the 1990s.
Yeah. Wow, those are the days, huh?
Yes, you remember those, yeah.
I do.
Back
I
with the dial-up and low modems and DOS computers, I mean, the whole bit.
I only just got off mine last year, so it's a scary thing. When you live in the middle of Yorkshire, it's not exactly high-tech. Now, Joe, I want to chat about copywriting, because it's obviously a big thing for you, writing sales letters. You focus a lot on using hypnotic language in your work, and I know that you saw that news clip, it was a couple of years ago now, about Agatha Christie and how she uses very simple words, but very hypnotic and influencing words, if you like.
Absolutely, yes. The Agatha report was done last December over in England, and it aired on national television. I'm writing about it in my hypnotic writing book that will be out later in the year.
Oh, wow.
And that was a study where they dumped all of her novels into a computer and then used analytical software to find out what the common elements were, and they found out that she was putting people into what was called a reader's trance, which in hypnotic terms we call it a waking trance, because your eyes are open and you are appear to be awake, but you're so focused on whatever's in front of you, which, you know, some people might be in a waking trance listening to this conversation because they're so riveted by it. But if you're driving and you might lose track of time or forget what you were doing, it's because you were in a waking trance. It often happens with books. It happened with Agatha Christie's novels. When they looked closely, they found that she was using certain words. They were very simple words. They were very simple phrases. Well, I say the same thing goes on in marketing, if you do it right. That's where I started writing about hypnotic writing, and I created my software, Hypnotic Writing Wizard, which is at hypnoticwritingwizard.com. And what I do is tell people that you can use all of these elements on a very simple level of communication. You want to speak in a conversational way. You want to use very short words, one-syllable, two-syllable type words. You want to be on a ninth grade or less level, because the average person doesn't have a college education to understand the big words, and even the ones with a college education aren't going to understand them. And you also want to tell stories. Stories are incredibly hypnotic. Now, of course, Agatha told stories throughout her book. Her whole book was a story. But stories are a way to communicate with the unconscious mind. There's certain words and phrases in marketing. The word guarantee, the word you, the word love. These are hypnotic. When you use these words, they push unconscious buttons within the reader. And they may not be aware of going into a trance, but they pay a little bit more attention to your writing. So there's all kind of little tidbits like this that have been proven to work, everywhere from my own research to the way I write my own copy. Some of my sales letters have gotten upwards to a 94% response, which is not only impressive, that's pretty much miraculous.
Oh, yes.
And Agatha Christie, of course, being one of the most well-read, best-selling authors in history, being discovered to use hypnotic writing in her works, in her books.
After the Bible and Shakespeare, I think she's the world's third best-selling author. She has the most books out there, which is a stunning feat. So if you can copy her
it
tricks.
Is. Oh, it is incredible.
Yeah.
That is very impressive.
I remember one of my teachers used to tell me that when you're writing, use short words, Because the people that understand the big words understand the big words and the small words, but the people that understand the small words, they only understand the small words, so just use small words. It was kind of confusing when they said it, but it made sense.
Well, my rule of thumb is just to be conversational. Yeah. What I tell people is to pretend that you were talking to somebody on the phone, much like you and I are doing right now, or we were talking to somebody over a beer or over a, you know, tea or something in conversation, like 3 a.m. at a coffee shop or a tea house or something.
Yeah.
And talk that way, because then you're human, you're personal, you're simple, you have a heart-to-heart communication. Far too many people, when they try to write something, put on a writing hat, and they think they have to impress their seventh grade English teacher, and they worry too much about spelling and punctuation and grammar and sentence structure and vocabulary, and the list just goes on, and they become so rigid and so paranoid that their writing isn't human. It becomes very stiff. It becomes very hard to read. It's not very original, and it disconnects from the reader. You want the reader to go into this reader's trance, and they'll do it if your writing is very easy, effortless, natural, personal, a human speaking to a human using human language.
Mm. You know, Joe, there's one question I always love to ask people when they go on Writers FM, and of course, just to remind people, this interview is broadcasting between Writers FM and Self Dev Radio right now. We're speaking to Joe Vitale, and the question I like to ask, it's, what are your favorite books? Now, I read somewhere that yours is The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. I've got that one.
Yeah. That is one of my all-time favorite books. And what a great question. Gosh, to ask a book addict what his favorite books are. Jeez, that is so juicy.
You bet.
I'm smiling, thinking to myself, uh-oh, I'll be, you know, I can spend the next 2 hours talking about books, but at the same time, I'll probably leave out some fantastic books. The Magic of Believing, obviously, by Claude Bristol, is a life-changing book for me. It's still in print. It came out in the 50s. I have multiple autographed original copies of it, which I cherish. But The Magic of Believing was a big one. Another one that most people probably don't know about and is very hard to get because it's out of print is a book called The Book of Est by Luke Reinhardt. The Book of Est, E-S-T. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about over there, but over here in the 70s and 80s, Est was a self-improvement training that was off the charts controversial and off the charts popular. Everybody was taking it, everybody was being confronted in it, and everybody was coming out on the other side transformed. And the best book, which was as close to reliving the experience of Est that I had ever seen, was this book called The Book of Est by Luke Reinhardt. If you can find it somewhere, oh, pay any price for it. Mm. The book is written with this high energy, with this passion, with a lot of you are there dialogue. And I think that's one of the things I really liked about the book is as I read it, I didn't feel like I was reading a book. I felt like I was living an experience. Mm. And it was a life-changing, transformative type experience. So I would say get The Book of Est by Luke Reinhardt. Now, another book that I absolutely love is 177 Mental Toughness Secrets of the World Class by Steve Siebold, S-I-E-B-O-L-D. 177 Mental Toughness Secrets of the World Class. This is not an easy book to read because every page has this brain-opening insight, and you have to look at that page and chew on it and think about it before you actually get it. And you could probably read the whole book in one sitting, but you wouldn't understand everything, let alone integrate those 177 mental toughness secrets. And the book is so powerful that when the author, Steve Siebold, offered to do a 6-month teleseminar where once a week everybody on the teleseminar would dig into the book and chew on every one of the concepts and have homework and report back, I was one of a dozen or so people that paid a couple $1,000s to be on that teleseminar.
Wow.
That's how deep and powerful the book is, 177 Mental Toughness Secrets of the World Class.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mentioned Mark Joyner earlier. His book, The Great Formula, his other book, The Irresistible Offer, are great. And I'll mention one more book here because I could go on.
Sure.
The book that inspired me to come up with the whole concept of hypnotic writing is a book called Unlimited Selling Power by Donald Moine, M-O-I-N-E. unlimited selling power. And it tells people how to use hypnotic selling techniques in face-to-face selling. And I was inspired by that book and applied a lot of the principles to come up with my own twist with my hypnotic writing. And then, of course, the Robert Collier letter book by Robert Collier. That book changed me. I was a good writer before it. I was a hypnotic writer after it. The Robert Collier letter book, it's back in print. His granddaughter is printing the book. You can get it at Amazon or robertcolliarpublications.com.
I saw, but, yes.
Yeah, I love books. I can go on and on. What a great question. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to just gush about books for a moment or two.
It's kind of my personal thing as well. The first time I go around to somebody's house, it's the first place I go, you know, straight to the bookshelf. I'm browsing
right.
What they've got. It says a lot about a person, and it perhaps says even more if they don't have a bookshelf.
Oh, boy, that's the house I leave.
Exactly.
I don't stay there very long.
You don't want to know that. So those are all kind of nonfiction books, Joe. Have you got any adventurous fiction you're into?
Interesting. I read very, very little fiction. There is hardly any that I read, so right now it's going to be really tough for me to come up with a single book.
Yeah.
I don't read too much in that area.
Right. When I read through The Attractive Factor, as I mentioned, that kind of read like a novel, so maybe you don't need to. You know, you're obviously picking up the novel writing skills from somewhere.
Well, again, books like The Book of Esk are written much like a novel. And I do learn from novelists. I mean, I did study, and this is worth mentioning, Jack London, William Saroyan, Ernest Hemingway, Shirley Jackson were all novelists who profoundly influenced me 30-some years ago. I don't read any of them as much anymore, but all of them, Jack London, his powerful, muscular writing style, William Saroyan, his very personal, upbeat, bubbly, confessional-type writing style, Shirley Jackson, wow, Shirley Jackson, who wrote the short story, The Lottery, captivated people with her details and her writing style. I loved it. And Ernest Hemingway, of course, he had this very tight, short sentence, one and two syllable words, communicated very strongly with that. So I don't read all of those fiction authors anymore, but they definitely are in my bloodstream because they influenced me when I was reading them back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So I love them, even today.
Wow. Now, Joe, I'm going to stop you there just for a moment because I know we're running short of time and we're going to take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to an interview with a man who charges through the teeth for his quality copywriting skills, but he's worth every penny, obviously. He's an Amazon bestseller. He is an Amazon bestseller himself, and he's written more regular books than most people have even read. Now, he's Mr. Fire. He's Joe Vitale, and he'll be back to chat with us more about his self-development secrets right after this. That was Mike Bryson there with a great little piece called New Dawn of the Spanish Dance. Do you dance at all, Joe?
No, not where anybody can see me. No, sometimes I dance celebration jigs, you know, in my room, but no, I don't really dance.
Celebration jig. You know, I do salsa. I do a little bit of salsa dancing. And by the way, this is part of the interview.
I figured it was.
In the break. I do a little bit of salsa dancing. I go maybe twice a week. And I've got a couple of friends, and they tell me that there are, just a couple of friends, they tell me that there are classes in Texas. It's very liberating. So you could try it out, you know. Salsa dancing.
Well, thanks for telling me. I'll keep that in mind. I'm pretty busy. I built my own gym. I've been in 4 fitness contests. I'm in my 5th one right now. So between my work in front of the computer, my writing, my reading, and doing interviews like this, the other big thing is working out, and then afterwards jumping in the sauna, hot tub, swimming pool that's baking outside in the Texas sun.
I saw the picture on your Cafe Press website where you sell all the T-shirts, and you're there bulging the muscle. You must have just been in a workout or something.
Well, actually, I had just done an interview for Narissa, who's my partner here. She had filmed me for something, and I was stretching, and she said, oh, my God, wait a minute. And she started taking pictures of me. And so I hadn't been working out. I was just seeing me, and she saw a photo opportunity. Yeah, but thank you for noticing.
You can't help but not notice. There's a big kind of Arnie Schwarzenegger picture there. You know, you're bulging the biceps.
Well, that's very flattering, you know, because I was a guy who was obese all of his life. I've lost 80-some pounds, and I've completely transformed myself, and when I work out, I do work very hard to make myself look good, and to have a picture like that and have it commented on like what you just said is very flattering. I went from being called the Buddha of the internet to now they call me the Charles Atlas of the internet.
Well, so, what a compliment.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to introduce you back because I haven't done so following the...
People don't know who you're talking to.
I'm so unprofessional. It's terrible. I'm your host, Carl, and you're listening to a very special interview here broadcasting across Writers FM and Self Dev Radio, both as stations, the first time we've done it. And we're speaking live with Dr. Joe Vitale. He's the author of Life's Missing Instruction Manual and The Attractor Factor. And we're going to chat now, Joe, a little bit more about your working self-development. Now, this is particularly of interest to all of our self-dev radio listeners. Now, I know that for a while your core focus was marketing, and I guess a lot of people listening to this might be wondering, well, what's the connection between marketing and spirituality, you know, self-development and buy it now buttons?
Well, that's a great question. Well, first of all, my interest in self-development and spirituality and metaphysics came first. Marketing came far later, because ever since I was 16 years old and I was reading books like The Magic of Believing and other books by Robert Collier and diving into metaphysics and trying to learn meditation and hypnosis, I was working on me. I wanted to find out just how far at least this human can stretch himself and grow. And I was a teenager. I was 16 years old doing this. I don't think I knew what the word marketing meant. So it wasn't until my first book was published, which was around 1983, 84, somewhere in there, and I had that glorious experience of being elated by being in print and then totally deflated when I realized that the publisher doesn't know anything about marketing. And so I had to learn marketing and practice marketing on me. I was my own first client. And so that's where that began. But personal development was first and still is my primary love. Everything I do, even in the business arena, in the marketing world, even when I put those buy it now buttons up there on my website, all of that is coming from spiritually directed intuition. I tell people, even though I'm incorporated, I'm the president of Hypnotic Marketing, Inc., I am a sole proprietor, and I spell soul S-O-U-L. Not S-O-L-E, S-O-U-L, because anything that I do is checked within myself to my connection with spirit, to be sure that I'm right in alignment with my path, that this is, my inner compass is saying, this is the thing to promote, this is the direction to go, this is all fine and dandy. And even when I write my copy, all my marketing pieces come from a spiritually directed place. I'm very known for my passionate style of writing because passion comes directly from my heart. And my heart is my connection to the heartbeat of the universe. That's where my spirit is. And so I write from my heart to touch the hearts of the people that are listening or reading or whatever it happens to be. I really come from a no-hype, all-heart type of frame of reference in marketing. So self-development for me is where it's at. I can only achieve what I've been able to achieve to go from, and I don't know that you knew this, but at one point I was homeless 30-some years ago, to go from homeless to millionaire, best-selling author, internet guru, however you want to describe me now, could only have happened by me taking care of my personal development. I had to look at my belief system, I had to change my reality, and I can only change my reality from working on the inside of me. So personal development is the number one place to start if anybody wants to achieve any success, whether it's writing, it's being a marketing person, I don't care where it is. It starts on the inside, not on the outside.
That's the core focus, of course, of your best-selling book, The Attractor Factor. It was released 2005. It's non-fiction, but it reads like a novel. I've read it, but for those who haven't, tell me what it's about.
Well, The Attractor Factor reveals a five-step formula for attracting wealth or virtually anything else from the inside of you out. And it's basically my own personal story. I talk about my struggle years. I talk about, you know, not having enough money to pay the rent and some pretty horrible times that I went through. And along the way, as I tell my story, I share my insights and I share my discovery of what those five secrets are. So by the time you get to the end of the book, you have lived my experience and you have integrated those five principles. And I hear from people who are reading those five principles and using the techniques, and they are doing everything from manifesting money from what seems like out of thin air to manifesting better health and attracting new cars. I mean, it's been a staggering list of people writing to me, calling me, sending me gifts, sending me thank yous, all because they read The Attractor Factor, learned the five steps, and those five steps helped them create a new reality. But it all happens inside. Trying to change the outside is like trying to wipe off your mirror, where what you need to do is look inside of you and clean up what's there. Then the outside, the mirror, reflects it.
It's a great analogy, and I don't want to do you out of any book sales, but could you give us a brief idea as to what those five steps are and how they kind of work?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a couple of the real key ones here. And one of them, of course, is the power of intention. Now, I am a great believer in intention. Intention meaning that your word helps declare what your reality is going to be. But it's a little bit more than that. Declaring your intention, a little bit like declaring your goal or your outcome. It's declaring where you want to go. But when you declare your intention, you are aligning all of the things within yourself, your body, your mind, your energy, to go in the direction of that intention. But also, here's where the magic happens. When you declare your intention, you send a signal out to the universe, that energy of all that is, which also includes you, and the universe starts to rearrange things in the world to put you in situations to make that intention come to pass. That's one of the key elements of the whole five steps. But here's another one, and I call this the missing secret. And it's worth everybody listening to this one and leaning forward to really get it, because I don't think anybody talks about this one. We talk about visualization, we talk about intention, we talk about all of this kind of goal setting type approach. But the missing secret is, if you have any beliefs, limiting thoughts, negativity, unfinished business within yourself, you will actually sabotage yourself from achieving your intention. Stating your intention will start to direct you in the fulfillment of it. But if you have something within you that's counter to that intention, it will prevent the intention from happening. Or if you achieve the intention, it will prevent you from keeping it. You won't be able to maintain it. So another one of the secrets to the five steps, I call it step three, get clear, is that you have to get clear of all of the inner stuff that may stop you from saying the very thing you want. The best example of this is, at the first of the year, everybody has good intentions about going on a diet, or stopping smoking, or stopping drinking, or whatever it happens to be. What happens 5 days later? They forgot all about their intention. Yeah. Because that part of them that wasn't in alignment with them is still alive and well in their body and in their mind. So one of the key things in the Attractor Factor is you need to get clear. The clearer you are, the faster your intentions will manifest. Those are a couple of very key principles to the five steps in the Attractor Factor.
we've talked about intention a lot, especially on the Self-Dev Radio website. And it's one of those things that sounds almost a little cliche these days. Everybody's talking about intention. And I've been browsing through a few of your different products and a few of the books that you've been involved in. Of course, The Attractive Factor, I've read that. But then I went on to something else and I read that you once said that intention is for wimps. And then I saw, I'm being devil's advocate here, but, and then I visited your manifestation site and I got one idea. And then I saw your psychicdemand.com site and got another. Yeah, I am playing as devil's advocate, but I just want to kind of get this question off to you. What really works for you and what's kind of at the heart of your message?
Oh boy, what a beautiful question. I admire you. I'm impressed. Wow. Well, first of all, I still believe in the power of intention. As I said, intention starts to lead you in the direction of where you want to go. The Psychic Demand site, and people can go read it, it's at www.psychicdemand.com, is based on a little booklet I found from 1910. And that little booklet said, instead of intending something, demand it. So instead of saying, I intend to receive $10,000 in unexpected income over the next 7 days, you say, I demand to receive $10,000 in unexpected income over the next, 10 days, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I thought, holy smokes, he just upped the level of power to the word intention. Instead of saying intention, you say demand, and suddenly there is much more force, there's much more energy, there's much more commitment behind it. And so I'm playing with the concept of demand. Now, you also asked me what my key message is here, and so I want to be clear. I say you can have whatever you want, whatever you intend, whatever you demand, as long as you don't need it.
And that's going to be tough for some people to digest there.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I'm pausing for dramatic emphasis here and to let people to mentally soak that up. And I'm going to repeat it. You can have whatever you want, whatever you intend, whatever you demand, as long as you don't need it. The reasoning here is when you need something, you are sending out a signal of desperation. That desperation is going to attract more desperation. So the massive, majestic, wonderful, freeing, liberating key to the secret of the universe, and this is a good place to have a drum roll of music and then a pause before we exit.
We'll edit it in.
Okay. Is along the lines of the universe is willing to give you whatever you want as long as you are not addicted to receiving it, as long as you don't need to have it. You want to come from a place of playfulness. You want to come from a place that says, oh, I would love to have $10,000 in unexpected income in the next 7 days or whatever it happens to be for you. But in your mind, you're saying, I won't die if I don't get it. See, it's that addiction, it's that need, it's that desperation, which isn't clear in a person. This goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that you have to be clear. If you are feeling you need it, you're desperate, you're addicted to it, whatever it happens to be, you're going to send a signal out to attract more of it. This is the reasoning in the book, The Secret. This is, or not the, the movie, The Secret. This is the reasoning in my book, The Attractor Factor, and this is my key message. You have to want whatever it is that you want and have a spirit of letting go at the same time. That's the secret of the universe. You can have whatever you want as long as you don't need it.
Yeah, I understand that. Makes sense. And I like this idea of demanding. In a way, it seems kind of cheeky.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because I'm British. But
right.
you're actually demanding something. And it's got a whole new energy to it. I'm not sure if it'd feel quite right, but I can see where it's going.
Well, I think it's taken the lid off of some people's superhuman powers. You know, a lot of people are not living their own true power. They're not letting their superhuman side come out because they're afraid. They're afraid of what that power might be. So they start with either nothing, and they just take whatever the universe and their unconscious mind bounces them around in life to deliver to them. Or they start to play with goals, and then they read The Attractor Factor, or they see the movie The Secret, and they start to play with intention. And then along comes Joe Vitale, who says, hey, in 1910, according to this book at psychicdemand.com, you could play with the possibility of demanding whatever you want. And holy smokes, you just now take the lid off of all your possibilities. You take the cork out of your energy system and you start to say, yes, I demand to get that new BMW and I demand to get it by such and such date. I think that it opens up a new realm of potential and it empowers you to do things that you might have been afraid to do before. So I love it. I absolutely am thrilled by the idea of demanding whatever it is that I'm looking for next.
I think one of the concepts inside your book, The Attractive Factor, which some people might have a little problem getting their heads around it, I know that I certainly do at points every time I stumble across it again, it's the whole idea that even the bad things in your life, even things that you really don't want to happen, are potentially being caused by you, or they're there to have an effect on you in some way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that is a big one. And it is tough to accept. The underlying message there is that you are totally responsible for everything that you have going on in your life. No exceptions. None. Out of that total responsibility comes a new power and a new awareness and a new consciousness. You suddenly start to realize, well, okay, if I accept that I created the car accident or the debt or whatever it happens to be, then you start to realize, okay, I can create it to be differently. Let me see how I want to paint the picture. And there's so many examples of how this works that I just run out of time trying to tell them all. But the first thing I would say is for people to sit with the concept of you are totally responsible for everything going on in your life. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it feels unpleasant. Once you get past that, you start to feel like, oh, I am the God of my personal world. You're not the God. You're not creating the planet and me and everybody else, but you're the God of your personal world. With that in mind, you start to play with the idea of, oh, how can I change it to be more of what I prefer? How can I start to play with a new reality? And from those new thoughts, you will take new actions. And those new actions will create new concrete physical results that you will soon experience. But it all, again, my key message is it all starts within the person. It all starts within you. There is nothing on the outside that's doing it. It's all on the inside. And your inside is sending out a vibration that is pulling it to you. That's in the movie The Secret. That's in my book, The Attractor Factor. That goes all the way back to 1910 with Psychic Demand.
You know, I've got one listener that's listening to this right now. And I know
only one?
Just the one. It's a very small station. And I know that a question that he's going to send me, because he sent it to me before, every time he hears an interview. He's called Kurt, and every time he hears an interview regarding anything such as, regarding anything pretty much, but anything along the lines of you are what you believe or you get what you believe, he writes and he says, that's a load of baloney. That's not true. A victim of burglary, did they attract that into their lives? Like you mentioned, a guy in a car accident, why would they want that to be in their lives? So again, playing devil's advocate, let me throw that question at you, and I'm going to enjoy listening to your answer. Why would somebody attract bad things into their lives?
Oh, we're doing it all the time, and we do it for a wide variety of reasons, and it will be unique to each person. So first, yes, we are attracting all of it, the robbery, the debt, whatever it happens to be, the car accident. Yes, we did it. Second of all, we may have done it unconsciously. We didn't really know what was going on. But in my experience, when somebody pauses and they get on the other side of the accident, because, you know, you're in trauma the first time this happens, and then you get past that a little bit and you start to reflect and say, okay, if I assume I caused this, fill in the blank, what might have been the positive reason for it? And allow whatever comes up to come up. Because it could be any number of things. It could be that there was a lesson of some sort to learn. It could be that you weren't paying attention while you were driving. It could be that you were told intuitively to get a burglar alarm system and you didn't do it. It could be that you had a belief that was going through your head just a few days before along the lines of, everything's going great for me, so I'm due to have something bad happen any day now. And I'm making these up, but I'm sure some listeners are going to nod their head and go, oh, yeah, I can understand that one. You know, I had a bunch of money come into me, not me personally, but maybe somebody thinking this as they're listening. I had a bunch of money coming into me, and it seemed too good to be true, so I knew that something was going to surface that would cause me to have to shell out money because I've just received more than I'm comfortable to own.
Yeah.
And so there was a robbery, or there was a car accident, there was some sort of problem that's going to cost you to shell out some money. There's always something there. You want to become alert to it, conscious of it, aware of it, so that you can address it, so that you can remove it, get clear of it, and then be done with it. Because the other side of this is, if you don't get the lesson that whatever that so-called bad experience was bringing, you will have another one, and bigger, in order to get your attention. It's trying to get your attention to tell you something. Once you get the lesson it's trying to tell you, that experience is over with. It won't happen again.
When these so-called bad experiences happen to you, and I'm guessing they still do, is that the way you approach it? Do you kind of sit back and think, I know why that happened, or I should be doing this differently?
Yes, absolutely. And the example I can give you is the end of last year, I bought for myself, I had made for me a unique BMW 645 CI luxury sports car. Now this was made in the factory for me. It's a $90,000 car. It costs more than many people's homes.
Ouch.
I bought it for me. It was delivered here to me. I love the car. I still love the car. Mm. But last December, we hit a deer driving that car. There was $7,000 worth of damage plus the death of a deer, and we're animal lovers, so it was very traumatic.
Of course.
We never hit a deer before. We live in the country in Texas, so it's not uncommon, but it had not happened to us. So I have to go through the whole experience of, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen in this particular car?
Yeah.
As I went through the process, and of course I had to take the car to a unique place to get it fixed, and in the process of getting it fixed, I discovered that I did not have car insurance.
Oh.
My car insurance had lapsed a month or so beforehand, and the insurance provider did not tell me. Mm. So I was driving around without insurance. Mm. So the first thing that meant was I had to pay the $6,000 or $7,000 auto repair bill out of my own pocket.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't hurt anywhere near as much as the fact that I was hurt by being in an accident emotionally.
Yeah.
And so I kept thinking, why did this happen? Well, the big thing that came to me is that because that deer ran into us and we hit it, we discovered that we did not have car insurance, which was an incredibly good thing to know. We could have been in a different kind of car accident and could have been sued and lost everything because we did not have insurance.
Yeah.
We looked at it that this deer gave its life to tell us, hey, your insurance lapsed, you need to get your insurance back on, and now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it may not have happened.
Yeah.
So that was a learning experience that came from something that looked bad. And I'm very grateful for it because it was easy enough to take care of it. The car is brand new. You can't tell at all that it was ever in an accident because the people who repaired it say that it's guaranteed. There's no way for it to be in an accident because when they repair something, it's as good as if BMW made it in their factory overseas.
Mm, yeah.
So the car is back to new. I have insurance. The deer I am grateful for because it told me your insurance ran out. You have to have it. Mm. That's how I found a lesson in a so-called bad experience.
Yeah, that's an interesting point and kind of leads us on to the video that you've starred in, which is called The Secret. Now, the whole premise behind The Secret really is, of course, that you are what you believe, that the universe responds to your thoughts, and that everything kind of in a way works in harmony, and it's only by getting into that stream of harmony that you can begin to take a little bit of control. But that's probably a bad description. Tell me what The Secret is.
Well, I actually don't want to tell you what The Secret is, because I want people to go watch The Secret.
Yes.
It is a powerful, life-changing, modern movie. It's about 90 minutes long. You can watch it at your computer for $5, or you can pay $30, I think, and have the DVD delivered to you. The website is at whatisthesecret.tv, www.whatisthesecret.tv. And there's a free trailer there that is absolutely hypnotic. It is riveting. It's one of the best things I'd ever seen to promote a movie, and there it is. The secret is about changing your life, and it is about changing it from the inside out. I've been very fortunate to be involved with the process of creating the movie and to be in the movie and also help promote the movie. But it's a message that I want everybody to get, particularly your listeners, even though they're already on that same wavelength. The secret helps people fine-tune the process of manifesting whatever they want, again, going with the attractor factor type of view, working from the inside out. So I'm going to play my curiosity card here and just let people be curious about The Secret and go see it at whatisthesecret.tv.
Joe, I know we're running out of time, but it's been a real joy to have you here on both of the stations, selfdevradio.com and Writers FM, where you've been sharing with us.
I'm flattered.
Well, you've given us so much. You've given us the information all about your writing and, of course, self-development. Joe's book is The Attractor Factor, available from Amazon.com. Or, of course, you can step by his website. That address is MrFire.com, www.MrFire.com. And you can go there, view his merchandise, see him flexing those muscles. And if you just go to his website, MrFire.com, click on the Browse Products link on the left-hand side of the page to get access to everything from his books to his software to his DVDs to his branded T-shirts. Well, Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's been fun. Thanks for the great questions. Thanks for the honor of being here. And to be on both shows, I'm even more flattered. So it's been great. I'm all excited. I'm ready to go jump in the pool and swim around in that hot tub.
Well, thanks again, Joe. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Carl, and you're listening to, well, it's either Self-Dev Radio or Writers FM. Confusing, yes, but whatever you do not adjust your sets. Normal station content will resume right after The Path Behind. We'll see you again in three.